Hello, Warfare family. I am back after a few months of a break. Not sure for how long, and can't promise what will happen in this space in the coming months, but I'm back after a few months of a break. Life getting in the way. And I'm back with a two-part series that has been on my mind for, I guess, throughout all those months. So I'll be talking about relationships and other ships with two of my close friends. And to kick us off, I have Miriam, who is a 25-year-old student living in Italy and is currently studying business and finance. In her free time, she loves to read and go on long walks with her dog. And as she says, so to quote her, she is a mess when it comes to relationships. So I thought she might be an ideal candidate to talk about relationships and other ships, the beauty of it, the ups and the downs, the ugly. So without further ado, let's get going. Well, I'm just gonna start and yeah. Hello!
Hi!
Thank you so much for joining me today on this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I briefly introduced you, but if you wish to add anything on about yourself, I can only say that we have a really interesting beginning to our friendship, which I'd love to share.
Just go!
We met when we were both on holiday in Egypt. And then we didn't actually spend much time together when we were on the holiday. But I guess it was our last day or so that we properly connected and we exchanged numbers.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like we talked on a trip to Cairo, but at the end of the trip. And then the day before leaving, because you were leaving before me, now I remember, I was like, maybe I lost that girl, because we wanted to connect, but we didn't see each other in the days after. So I was like, I wonder, where is she? And then I randomly met you at the pool, and I was like, no, I have to leave her my Instagram account or something. And then I feel like it took us a lot because I deactivated Instagram. And I remember that you told me, I thought that you were never going to write to me. And then we connected.
Yeah.
It was long in here, but yeah.
Then we got there, and I'm really glad that we did.
Me too. And plus, everything was so fast. We were just speaking, and I was like, why are you not coming to Italy? And I love the fact that you just looked at flights. And you were on, you were ready. I love that about people, because sometimes plans never leave the group chat. You have a lot of people who make plenty of plans, and then they never actually do something. So it was so cool. It was like we were supposed to meet.
Yeah.
Yes, I had to do it.
I actually feel like I was in a very funny place in my life at the time when we met, which it's been over a year and a half, I guess, now, right? That we met first time on that holiday. Yeah. I do feel like it is very sort of serendipitous that we connected and reconnected, and then that you invited me to Italy, because I guess it's worth sharing that you have Moroccan roots, but you have been born and raised in Italy, just outside of Milan. So I did jump on that plane. I guess it was just calling me. I felt such good vibes from you, and I wanted to get to know you more and cultivate that friendship, even though it's always, at least for now, will be sort of long distance. I really appreciate it, and I'm really glad that I did that.
Me too, I feel the same. And it's like, as if it was supposed to be, I don't know, we have this word in Arabic, maktub. We were talking about it the other day, like the book from Paul the Rabbit, you
know? Is it Paolo Coelho?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just I think that sometimes you just meet some people in a when you go through some particular times, whatever, and you just meet. It just happens. And it's so cool. And sometimes you don't need a boyfriend. You don't need another crappy situationship. You need friends.
Yes. Yeah. So the idea for this podcast has been sort of brewing in my head for months and months. Again, due to sort of just life getting in the way, I didn't pick on that idea. I didn't have that creative energy to actually make this happen until recently, where I feel like things have picked up for me personally. And I guess, again, thanks to all my wonderful friendships, including yours, I was able to sort of, you know, pick myself up again and, yeah, be creative and create. And something quite funny, I don't know if you've heard of this analogy of the train. So we are on a train, and then some people get on the train and they continue throughout your entire journey that is your life, but others just sort of hop on and off. And that we should be okay with people coming and going into and out of our lives. And I really like that. But then I thought, how can we sort of put that across or use that across other friendships, relationships? And then I thought of this word, you know, ship, and that a ship usually docks at different stations and different ports as well. And yeah, so like just trying to focus on that. So I guess the purpose of today's conversation is just to, yeah, unpack this idea of many different ships in our life. Very poetic.
I like it. I like the concept. I've never heard about the theory, but it really represents how life works.
Mm.
It's really like that, because sometimes people just go off of your life and it's fine. Then maybe they get back, they don't, but that's life. You just go on.
Mm-hmm. It's sometimes easier said than done. But I think it's a skill that once you master, you will be eternally at peace. That's kind of exactly what I'm seeing and feeling.
Yeah, but you know what they say? I don't know if I can say it correctly, but most of the things in life are simple but not easy. Something like, so it's simple, you know what you're meant to do, what you have to do. But it's not easy to apply, to do. So I kind of get that life is like that. Relationships. Yeah. You know that the person is not meant to, for you, and you shouldn't be like chasing people, whether it's a relationship or a friendship. But it's easier said than done, because it's not easy to do it.
Yeah, sometimes the most simplest things are the hardest, as you say. So true. Definitely feel that for myself. And yeah, I mean, I remember reading this book, one of the many self-help books that I read at one point in my life. And I feel like most of them have left me with sort of one impression or one sort of main takeaway, and that's great. I mean, you can apply those things in your life. And there was this one book that I think it was titled something like The Courage to Be Disliked, something along those lines. And they really applied this, I think it was Adlerian psychology from Adler, where they talk about relationships and how actually relationships are the hardest thing in life. So like interpersonal relationships and those problems are the hardest problems that we have to deal with in life. And I sort of pondered on that idea, and the more I live and the more problems I face, I feel like there is a solution to most problems. You know, there will be. It's like physics or mathematics. There is a solution. But when it comes to relationships, there's so many factors at play that you may never arrive at a solution. You might compromise or meet in the middle somewhere, but it's hard, and there is no real solution. You know, there's no one truth to a relationship. So yeah, I just thought we could, you know, talk about the different types of relationships that we have to deal with in life, and just sort of, yeah, I guess talk about our personal experiences with them. Yeah.
So I kind of like the approach of the book that we were talking about, because it feels that today you open Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and you'll be seeing an anonymous, someone that is not known, a guru, a dating coach, who's just saying, you gotta be have strong boundaries and everything. But I feel that sometimes you can have few deal breakers, but you have to compromise a lot with boundaries.
Mm.
And now we're growing with this, growing, because I feel like I'm a teenager, even though I'm 25. And I don't have a solution. I don't know what it is. I don't know what we're talking about. Because, as you've said, those relationships are complicated. But you see so many people having those strong boundaries and all those requirements, a full list of what they want in a partner.
Mm.
And it's so strange, because sometimes you fall in love with a Shrek, as I told you when we were talking, because Shrek does not have everything, yet he makes you feel in a certain way. But you also have to compromise with Shrek and live in the swamp, maybe. You don't know what it is, but I love to use the Shrek analogy.
I love that. I love that. So should we unpack the sort of romantic relationships and ships that kind of sail in different directions? All right. Okay, so should we just kick off by maybe, because I think we are both frustrated with dating today. Maybe not just us. I think I hear that from many. I mean, I have a more of a female perspective of this, and I hear of any women in my life who are single and are looking for a partner and are maybe in their mid to sort of late 20s. And yeah, it's a conversation for sure. Dating today, sort of the patterns and what we have to deal with. What are sort of some of those observations that you're having today, and maybe some of the frustrations?
Frustration is that using dating apps when I was younger, I did not treat them properly. I mean, I thought of them as dating apps and not as selection apps. So you select people. Because attraction changes. I mean, if you look at a picture of someone, you think that you might like them, but a picture and few prompts are not a good indicator of attraction at the end. Mm. It feels like you went shopping at the supermarket and I'm just comparing guys and dehumanizing them. So this is one frustrating thing. And again, you talk with people, and this selection process is long. You get to the first date and you're like, no, I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him. I don't want, why am I doing that?
Mm.
Should be staying at home, watching a film, reading an entertaining book, something like that. Why am I out? And then you go out with them. You say, maybe they're not that bad. Majority of the time, for me at least, it's like this. But then they start being flaky. And yeah, I think that we're becoming both delusional, men and women. I'm going to be blunt. I'm going to say that we're both delusional. What do you think about that? Because you have girls who are super selective, as we should, because if we weren't selective, like, as Jordan Peterson says, there is no reason to spread bad DNA in this world. I mean, if you don't select your men...
Did you say that?
It's a bit controversial, love sorry, him. But I just want to get the idea. I mean, you want someone a bit competent to be with. And us girls are being unrealistic with what we're looking for. I mean, if you just look at the TikTok trend, again, because TikTok represents so much the dating world today. If you see the TikTok trend, I'm looking for a man in finance, 6'5", trust fund, blue eyes. First of all, where do we find a man in finance that doesn't have mental problems? sample 5. It's a lot. It's a lot. 6'5". I googled that because I don't know inches, but it's a lot. And then what else? Trust fund. I mean, we're talking about 2% of all around. Not even 2%. Blue eyes. Who cares? Blue eyes are not gonna pay for your rent. I mean, it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
And there is this polarization. I'm sorry, but you'll be having those podcasts where they bring all those OnlyFans women and they put them in front of a mic talking, and you see that those are entitled women, and they kind of wanna tear us apart and stuff like that. And they're making fun of women, thinking that all of us is stupid, which is not the case. So, and then you have women who are like, no, all men are shit. You have the ultra feminists. So it's just a bad environment at the moment. It's just a bad environment, to be honest. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I feel quite detached from the dating world, although I've sort of been within this space for I guess the last 3 years, and I've had lots of, well, maybe not a lot, but a few different experiences, and it feels like at this point in time I'm just grateful to have gone through them, because now I am able to better discern what I'm looking for, if that makes sense. So it's like, I mean, I like what you said in terms of the selection process, like, okay, they tick those main boxes, that's great, and I'm gonna meet them, and you know how we're gonna interact within sort of a physical space, that's very different to just being online. So I feel like I am very fast to now just be able to sort of understand and make that first initial sort of selection, and maybe like the sieve process, like the sieve through process. But at the same time, I feel very uninspired to just do it. Because I just hear so many stories, like horror stories of dating from my friends and from people around me, that I just don't want to be part of it, you know? Like, the chances of you actually meeting someone great are so low. Like, you really need to put yourself out there and sort of brace what's coming and embrace what's coming for something to happen maybe after 50th date, you know, or whatever. Like, it takes a lot of trials and errors to get to a place. Some people I know have met, you know, some people were super lucky and they have met their long-term partners on the first date on Hinge or whatever, and that happens. But I feel like most of us, it takes a lot of trial and error. And I just feel like I haven't been in the space personally to actually like just put myself out there and throw myself into the wild, because I genuinely feel like that's what's going on. But then also on the other side, I actually read about, it was a really short book on dating and how dating sort of evolved. And there is this romantic side of dating, you know, there is this romantic and thrilling side of dating where you go on a date and you put your best self forward and you look nice and the other person does the same, you both put effort and you both invest into it, and you give each other, you know, a fair try. And but I just feel like that doesn't happen that much anymore. I mean, we spoke about things like paying, who should pay on the first date, and you know, when do we draw those boundaries, and should we go on another date, and things like ghosting. I mean, I have been ghosted for the first time in my life, and I feel like that's an interesting experience to have, you know? I've never thought that could happen to me, but I feel like the more you expose yourself, the more you will experience. But then I can sympathize with, you know, someone else, a friend, who have been ghosted, or I can, you know, sympathize with my daughter down the line who might be ghosted or whatever. It's great to have those experiences, as hard as they are. So yeah, that's a lot that I just sort of flung out there.
Yeah, I think that we've normalized a lot of bad behaviors. Because ghosting, again, like I told you that I rewatched Sex and the City, and you had Berger, the idiot, the narcissistic Carrie's boyfriend, who left her with the post-it. But back in the days, people wouldn't be breaking up that much like this. I mean, yeah, you had men leaving their families and stuff like that. And yeah, there was. But now it's normalized. It's so many people disappearing. You don't like me, just say, look, I kind of think that you are an amazing person, but I feel that we don't match. Bye. It happened to me after 6 months ghosting. I'm going to open up about this thing. Sometimes I think that it's hard to open up on a podcast like this. But and it was stupid because I fixated on this person and now thinking about him, I'm like, he's not even my type. Thank God he left me. God, we will reach out to you. Also, you have women who lose their dignity. I mean, I can be a bit clingy, but in the second part of the relationship. But again, why should I be chasing someone who doesn't want me? Why? If you don't, like, I've heard on a podcast this Russian saying, or Ukrainian, I have no idea, I'm sorry, that it's like, if you don't like me, I don't like you 10 times more.
I love that.
I love that. Me too. It's nice because you're like, you don't like me? I don't like you 10 times more. Bye. Have a nice life. But I kind of read that way. It can also be applied to other people at work, whatever. Because you cannot change for everyone. Come on.
Yeah. I think we had... No, sorry. Go on.
I don't trust people have too many friends. One thing is have acquaintances. Another is too many friends. Too many different people. It's not normal.
Yeah, it's hard to even manage too many friendships.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of energy. It's a full-time job.
I mean, but they're superficial at the end of the day. You might not know anything about them. I feel that it's always a discovery when you have a friend. Like, I have people that I've known for years, but sometimes something strange about them pops out or some random fact from their childhood.
Yeah.
And you never stop to know someone. It's so cool, so fascinating at the end. Even people that you live with, I don't know if you have this feeling about your family, with my dad, I kind of feel like I don't know him.
Interesting.
I feel like I don't know him. Because, yeah, I've always seen him as my dad. He might have told me something about his childhood, but I don't have some information about a lot of years of his life.
It's very interesting because I feel like the older I get, the more vulnerable my parents get with me. And they show that sort of childlike state. Because I think they now, you know, judge that I am old enough to sort of carry that burden. And it's crazy how sort of as we grow older, that dynamic changes. And sometimes it changes in unhealthy ways where they are the children or like we are parenting them. And we had those conversations as well. It's
But I feel like it's also cultural. I mean, in Middle Eastern culture, it's totally normal that you take care of your parents when you grow. And they kind of make, a lot of people make children in order to have someone that cares about them. I mean, you don't put them in a nursing home. How do you say that? They just live with you, which, to be honest, I don't want to sound bitchy, but it can be a nightmare. Because maybe you had the worst relationship ever with them your whole life, and then you have the old version. Because someone, when gets older, either changes and becomes super sweet, super calm. Like, my grandparents are like this now. And then you have someone that goes crazy, God forbid, you might have some illness and just feels strange.
Yeah, it's a lot to shoulder.
Between abandoning and caring without also the idea of family at all costs. It's a bit toxic because you can also take it into relationships. You have couples that cannot divorce. They have nothing in common, but they don't have... They even have grown children. What the fuck is holding you with that man? I mean, I know people who have money, have everything, and are still with a husband that they don't love. Their children are old. Girl, dump him and go travel the world. You still have 20 years ahead, 30 years. Fine, bye.
Yeah, no idea what's going on there. But I did want to go back to sort of the dating and just think about sort of, I think we were touching on this as well. And you mentioned something interesting before about, you know, a man that sort of was hot and cold. And to me, it's like that type of man who can't really decide, like the commitment avoiding type. I find it really funny and actually quite tragic that women get quite attached to men who don't commit and just kind of like play this this dance together of like hot and cold and come and go. Is it Hamlet who said the like to be or not to be, or is it Shakespeare?
Well, it's Shakespeare.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like who, like it just feels like those men take it way too far in terms of like to be or not to be. Like, is she the one? Is she not the one? Like, you know, because I feel like there's always a better option out there for both men and women. I just wonder what's your take on that.
My take on that, I'm going to make an example that may sound not right, I mean, not fitting, but do you know Marina Abramovic?
No.
The artist, the one who says, performance, the Serbian one with this heavy accent, black hair.
No, but I need to Google that.
Yeah, just Google that. She made a performance in Naples, I don't know when, and what she did. She just stood up, put a lot of objects on a table, even a gun, and she allowed people to do whatever they wanted with her. So at a certain point, at the beginning, people would write something, not do anything bad, and then they start to cut her, whatever. And at a certain point, they had to stop the performance, because of a man trying to shoot her.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think that we allow those guys to treat us like that, because they just play with your boundaries. They just push it every time. They just start to push. And if you just let them do whatever they want because you like them. I mean, I see that I behave differently with someone that I like and with someone that I don't like. If I don't like someone, I'm like, sorry, I can't. I like another person. Why? They keep hitting on me, but I'm like, no, I'm sorry, I cannot do that. And I just cancel on them, not in an unpolite way. I just say it way before, of course. But with someone that I like, I might say, all right, but maybe he's doing that because he's busy. I think it's an ego thing. So it's a mix. You leave them doing whatever they want with you. And then you have the ego thing. You're like, he cannot not like me. He has to like me. We have inflated egos because also we're not men. We don't go up to women asking them out. We've never done it. So we don't have this thing of having a hurt ego that guys might have more. And you're like, why is he not liking me? And again, there is also this thing of you cannot chase them. So you're like waiting like a Disney princess, and you're like, when is he gonna text me? And again, and then you start to have passive aggressive behaviors, and then you get back to normal. And I think that they are toxic, but also we allow them to be toxic.
I mean, I have to just agree.
I like the fact that you block. Blocking is so effective. It's so nice. You just get them out of your way. You don't think about them. Even not seeing their freaking faces on Instagram, I'm relieved. I'm relieved when I see that. I'm sorry to say that.
Yeah.
And plus, I had this weird thing with the guy that I told you that ghosted me. And I told you that his best friend, I blocked him on Instagram, and his best friend has done me a request, a following request, and I blocked also the best friend. But I gotta be honest, at a certain point I was like, oh, maybe he cannot reach out to me, so he just wants to see if I'm fine. And this is my stupid voice in my head, and I'm like, no, he just sees you as an object, he does not love you. Again, I felt that being honest with yourself is so hard. Also with friends, when they come up to you for advice, you don't know how to say that. Like, girl, he doesn't like you. Because sometimes it can be seen as envy.
Mm.
It's just like that. He doesn't like you enough. Because when they find the right one, they do whatever. Everything. I've seen it. I've had a guy living in Switzerland, coming from Switzerland to pick me up next to, so I don't live next to Milan, but it's 30 kilometers from Milan, picking me up since he wanted to show me his hometown, Lugano. He took me there. We went for an aperitivo and then dinner. And then he got me back home. And he got back. So it's 4 hours driving after a whole day driving, because he had he was busy. He was an entrepreneur. He had a lot to do with his job. And yet he found time.
Hmm.
Even this excuse of time. So again, I think that we don't have strong boundaries.
Yeah.
They be crazy, like he has to buy me flowers every week. I mean, but at least he has to show some degree of interest. And then I can consider that.
Okay.
You have also women who are not the best looking ones, and they're like, I cannot be into, you know, those kind of girls who are pretty, but are not like Adriana Lima.
Mm.
Or a supermodel, and they're like, I cannot be into a guy if he's not into me. It might sound narcissistic, but they're right.
I mean, there's so many things that come to my mind just from those few sentences there. Number one, if he wanted to, he would. That's like my motto. And there's no way around it. That's just it. Like, men are straightforward. So if he wanted to, he would. He would just cross the world for you, girl, if he wants to. If he doesn't, then that's just that's the truth. That's the reality check we need to face. And just kind of move on, right? It's hard, but that's what we have to do. And the sooner you do that, the better for you and the better for your future. And another thing that comes to my mind is actually a bit of a confession. I have a toxic trait. My toxic trait is...
I'm cut from saying that. I love people when they admit their toxic trait.
Yeah.
It should be a game on the first date. What's your toxic trait?
Yeah, my toxic trait is if a guy is too into me or he does too much for me, I get put off. You think so?
No, how can you be...
Why? Do you know why it's toxic? It's toxic because I would rather he be hard to win and not give me the attention or not like me very sort of directly.
All right.
That makes me want him more. So that's the toxic part. Otherwise, it's not toxic. It's yeah, it's nice to, you know, it's sort of a healthy boundary there for sure.
Yeah, but again, when you read psychology books, whatever, you realize that no one is mentally stable. Just a big spectrum, and we fall somewhere in the middle, but we're not mentally stable. And then you have the extremes.
Mm-hmm.
But we all have some toxic traits. So yeah, that could be nice. Normal. I mean, it's normal. But again, all those social media that talk about expectations, and you know, you cannot be happy if you have so many expectations. I read on a book by Yuval Noah Harari. I don't know how to pronounce his name. That happiness at the end is just when reality meets expectations.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy. If you think that today you're gonna do 2 tasks, you do it, you do them, you're happy, you're fine. If you're like, I want this man and this and that, you will never. Just take it as it is.
Yeah. To be honest, again, lots of thoughts come up to surface, but number one is, yeah, we need to manage our expectations when it comes to friendships, to relationships. And the more we expect, the more we project onto the other person, and then the reality comes in and you're like disappointed. But if you have, you know, bare minimum expectations, you know, I think there should be expectations. We should have an element of trust and an element of sort of stability and fundamentals that we have to expect from the other person. But then when you build it up, you know, a fairy tale in your head, that's never going to meet you. So you're bound to be unhappy and unsatisfied, and you'll feel like a failure.
Yeah, you just touched on a super important point. I mean, bare minimum and then more. It's legit.
Yeah.
No. But yeah.
Another thing that sort of popped into my head when you were speaking was the role of men and women. And I just feel like that's a topic for a podcast in and of itself. But happy to touch on that, because from my side, right, there is a few things that is like really like bubbling through in my head right now. And it's this idea that I got my role as a woman in a relationship completely wrong until very recently. Given that I was actually, and this is very sort of interesting and we can talk about it, but I thought that, and this is probably something that, you know, the image you create and how people interpret you, and, you know, you might have an image of yourself, but then how people understand that is different. So I thought that if I'm doing like, I'm studying, I'm having my own business, then I'm working and I'm working out and I'm this go-getter that every man would love that, you know, that's so impressive. But actually, when you think about, you know, that you could say traditional view of men and women and the role, that's not for the women to be so ambitious and to be so entrepreneurial and be that go-getter, that breadwinner, right? It's the man's role to do that. And if the man does not feel like he's doing that, he's that provider, then it's not working, right? The dynamics are off. Yeah, the floor is yours.
It's a whole lot. You just touched on so many points, but I think that now we can find a balance. If you think about that, back in the days, if you wanted to be an independent woman, you would have to give up on everything, on a man, on a family, on a lot of things. Now, I mean, I always have this kind of a optimistic view of the world, even though sometimes I look like a negative person, but we can have it almost all. We can have it all now with some adjustments and understanding the role of men. Because, again, back in the days, you had to be an independent woman, you had to give up on everything. now I think that we really can find a balance by just knowing how to treat men and women in the right way. I think that if you make feel your man not useful and mothering him, which is, it's not even feminine, to be honest, mothering a man, like, no, you don't have to do it like this, like that. It's stupid. Because if you chose a partner, you chose him because you trust him. Trust is everything. You know that you can get your foot off of the pedal when you're having kids. And it's not like giving up on a lot of things. It's just like you have to focus on kids.
Mm.
For the first time, for the first years of their life, at least the first month, you are the primary caregiver. Let's not be stupid about it, because you have a lot of women. I have some discussions with my friends sometimes, and they're like, oh no, I can get back to work after a few months. And I'm like, do you want to get back to work after a few months because society is telling you that, or because you really think that you need to go for it? But I mean, I also feel like we're playing with kids. Mm. With this yo-yo attachment style, and it's not good. So again, I think that we need defined roles, but not in toxic way, in a new way. We can reshape the world. Because mm. I mean, us women live longer. What it is staying with the kid for a while and then getting back to work. And then everyone has different career paths and career ambitions. Me, for example, I don't want to be the boss bitch.
Mm.
I'm fine with having a nice job and doing what I have to do. So I don't feel like I want to grow so fast. Maybe now it's like this. Later, it's going to be different. But again, I think that we can reshape those roles in a way that it's a win-win for everyone. Like, he takes care of certain stuff, he feels a man, and I feel a woman. But again, when you talk about this stuff with people, everyone gets mad. Like, you have people get mad. Or like, no, it's not real, you're talking like a trad wife. No, I'm not. I also want to work. I feel like I would go crazy staying at
home. Mm.
And it's funny, because this take comes from women that a lot of times are entrepreneurs or have climbed the corporate ladder and are just tired.
Yeah.
Because who wants that life? It's miserable. I feel like you are an entrepreneur, but you decide to do what you want. You've decided what you wanted to do, and you are passionate about what you do. But working at an investment bank, at least for me that I've studied finance, shouldn't be romanticized.
Mm.
So again, we should pick up what we want to romanticize and create this balance between men and women.
Yeah.
It has to be new. It has to be new. Because getting back to our grandmas, it's not the solution.
Mm.
I mean, not saying to a man when he's not behaving right, and also like boosting his ego all the time and make him being delusional, it's not the solution. But also, I don't want to be staying in the kitchen all day long. Again, there are women who choose that, but I'm not shaming anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this, I mean, this can be sort of, as we're describing it, on the much sort of higher level. But I also see that change of roles, even when it comes to dating, like the very early stages of dating, I see that more and more women pursue men and less men pursue women.
Like what?
Like making the first steps and the chasing. No, no, no.
What is considered pursuing? Because I think that...
Yeah.
I mean, I might send a text once in a while, but I kind of try to keep the balance. I mean, 10% of the times I text first, and 90% of the times it's him. What do you mean by pursuing? Because there are some women who think that texting once is pursuing.
Well, I would say, like, sort of Yeah, like taking the initiative, right? Like maybe scheduling a first date or being the one to initiate and then to keep that going, like, as you know, you're creating or forming something.
Does that exist?
Yeah.
But I was so desperate. You know that when sometimes you're like, I'm desperate, I'm not doing anything right. But actually, I have a lot of pride. I feel like my Moroccan genes are like, no, don't test. I mean, to be honest, that's miserable because men love what they invest in. You see them when they bet a certain amount of money on their favorite football team. That stuff that they do, I have no clue about that stuff. And they're like on the phone, like this, watching. And if he doesn't invest time and money in you, just buy.
Yeah.
It's not even about money. It doesn't have to be an expensive dinner. Just even ice cream. Oh, I wanted to ask you one thing. Like, do you think that a walk out is a normal date? Is acceptable as a date?
As a
Like,
taking a
let's be
walk.
sound. Going on a walk and getting an ice cream, coffee, whatever, just casual things.
Yes. To me, yes.
Because I feel that a lot of women are like, no, we're not going for coffee, we're going for dinner. Girl, like if I go out with a guy on a first date, I don't like him. I cannot be at a restaurant with him. Maybe I don't like him, he doesn't like me. Why should we be stuck 2 hours of our life like that?
I mean, I am actually, I just really dislike that sort of artificial environment where you both question each other, like face to face, almost like an interrogation. I don't like it. I've never liked it, and I don't enjoy it. If I'm forced into it, I feel like it's not natural for me. I don't like it. So I would much rather take a walk where I just feel like where you walk, your ideas just flow out and you become yourself and it's much more natural. So yeah.
It can be romantic if done in the right place, nice park, whatever. But yeah. Again, also the way we sit at tables, as you've said, face to face, it's nicer to have someone near, next.
Yeah.
I don't know how you say that, but when they're sitting on your left or right, whatever, it's far more intimate than face to face. What it is, a business meeting?
Exactly.
Unless you, yeah?
No, go ahead.
No, unless you're not a creep, I don't want to be so distant from.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, and I mean, just to wrap up this part, I guess the question is, where are you today?
I'm just not. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm at, to be honest. I think that I'm figuring stuff out, and I kind of feel like I want to pause from dating in order to understand what I've done. But at the same time, I feel like I have to live my life, go out and see. Because we have so many strategies for dating and everything, and Golden Retriever theory, black cat, blah blah blah, and all this stuff popping into my mind, and then I'm like, but live. You have to write your own love novel. Just do it. So yeah, I kind of feel that I'm not in a situationship, thank God. I'm not doing that again. I've learned my lesson, but I'm kind of going out with someone. I've mentioned it to you. But he's not what I always pictured in my mind. You know, the Shrek theory again.
Yeah.
We have to put this theory out, the Shrek theory. He is Shrek. He is not like athletic. He doesn't walk much. He smokes. But I don't know. But yeah, I kind of like him, but I'm gonna see.
Fair
What about
enough.
you?
Huh. I mean, I'm also quite relieved to find peace by myself. And I feel like for the first time in my life, I am truly alone, as in I'm that definition of single. In terms of, yeah, not really. I feel like I've let go of that desperation. I know, I'll put it out there. I felt like at some, you know, I felt like my life was not complete when I didn't have someone around me. And I'm so glad that I was gifted a time in my life, I guess, and a very crucial point in my life as well, where I am, there is nobody there, like, admiring me and chasing after me, and neither am I going after anybody. And even if I sort of do try or put myself out there, it feels like nothing's really, like, you know, there's no spark, there's nothing going on. And it's like, okay, I guess that's the period in my life where I'm just single. And I need to use this for other things. I need to put my energy into something else, not this. And I trust the process, and I trust that something will come at the right time. And sort of kind of just always think about, no, my husband's somewhere there. He's not here today, but he exists, and we'll meet at the right time when the time arrives. And I also feel like my life just has too many question marks at this point, you know, that,
yeah,
just feel like there's this peace. And I feel like, and something I want to touch on actually, so this could be like this nice leeway into this topic, but just sort of that relationship with yourself, that ship that should anchor you within your life, you know, like, can you be happy and just relying on yourself? Because I really truly believe nobody will ever save you. There's no prince on the horse riding into your life and making your life better. In fact, I'll just go back to like the start of our conversation. I truly believe that marriage, any long-term relationships, serious stuff, they will bring problems. They're not as beautiful as we envisioned them to be. It's a shitload of problems coming your way. And so, yeah, I think that's where I'm at right now.
I have to say that I admire you for saying that you are alone and admitting that. And also, you came to the conclusion that it is fine to not entertain people when you're single. Because sometimes I think that we are bored and we scroll on dating apps, or maybe we say yes to that date that we know that it's not going in the right direction. I'm going to be super blunt. And yeah, so the fact of really being alone and loving this piece, because I think that we're never going to get it back. I mean, today we're sitting here, we can record, we can enjoy ourselves, can make plans for summer, and then a lot of relationships problems are gonna come in our way. Maybe let's say it's going on a dinner with his friends that you dislike, but you have to do it because you love the man. And then you might have his parents could get sick, you have kids, and you have a house, a mortgage, a dog that shits on your around, you know. You never know. And then you want a dog, but he wants a cat, and you have to compromise. He wants to live in a city, you want to live in the outskirts or on a mountain, whatever. And maybe he wants to go out every weekend, you're a homebody and you don't want to. So it's a lot of problems, because you're not dealing with a projection of yourself. You're dealing with another person that you have to love. So again, we can get back to the concept of dating and us having too many expectations and having all those requirements, when love is totally different. Love is something that I've never experienced, but it's very different. And nobody teaches you how to love.
No. And to
question yourself every time. Yeah, but I feel, as you've said, problems, problems, and problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely beautiful moments in relationships, but I feel like, there is, we idealize relationships and marriage as well way too much. I mean, I think it's a sacrifice of yourself, and it's a beautiful sacrifice. I'm not condemning marriage at all. I think it's great if you do that, and that's given to you. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. But also, another confession of where I'm at is actually this idea, and I don't know how you feel about it, but this idea that you want to sort of meet someone early on in your life so that you can grow, you can shape each other and you can have this love that kind of grows with you. And I feel like I wanted that for myself, but that's a bit too late now, almost, in the standards of like where we're at. I mean, I'm 28 now. And so I can't go back in time. I'll never be 21 to like grow up with someone, right? But then I thought to myself, it kind of took me a while to actually just accept that okay, this is not my life, that's not my narrative, that's not how my story goes. And maybe it will take another 2 years, maybe even 5 years for me to meet that person. So, I will meet someone a little bit later on. I'm not saying it's late on in your life because it's so early as well. When you're 30 or 35, still so early. You've got a full life ahead of you, right? But today's standards is like that. I feel like there's this pressure of 30, like you should get it figured out by that. And later it's like, late. Although not in my eyes, at least not anymore. I genuinely had that feeling and I had that belief that I wanted to, have and shape each other when we were still quite young. And now I find it actually quite beautiful to have that mature love, to meet two people when they are mature, when they are maybe like 35 or however old they are, but they are mature, they know what they want, they know who they are, they have gone through crap, and that's done. Like that chapter is done. And now you can just sort of like open up that new chapter together and entered that maturity stage. I love that.
Me too, because you have a lot of people who are like, oh, I want a woman who's younger than me. I don't know about you, but if I were a man, I would never date 19-year-old Miriam. She was so toxic. It was so toxic, God forbid. I didn't know what I wanted. But it's normal. I mean, it's normal. Like, why are you freaking interested in a woman that is 10 years younger than you, unless she's not super mature? Because now, again, you have women who are 30 and they look 25. It's easy. And you have like those 19 years old who look 30. Or I say that. But I think that it's all about the age is important. Look, the age is super important because you are more conscious, you know what you want, and I think that the downside is the downside and positive side at the same time is the fact that you're not willing to deal with shit. You're just not, which can be positive because you know who you are. But at the same time, it's negative because if you have two different persons disagree on something, it can be a bit harsh. You see that when you date guys who are older, they already know what they want. Even in conversations, sometimes they're like, no, I don't want that. It's not like this. No, they're super honest and straightforward. They don't fear saying something. Whereas, I don't know about you. But dating guys my age, I remember that they used to become like me in order to impress me. Like they wanted to do the same things that I've liked, same interests, and then this whole castle would crumble because we weren't like this. We just, it was just like his version made in order to conquer me, but it wasn't. Whereas when you're 30, you don't put this whole theater on. You're like, all right, fine. Even if someone dumps you and doesn't want to go out with you, you're just like, oh, finally tonight I can rest. I don't know. I feel like we're 25 and 28, but we kind of have the 30-something maturity level sometimes.
Yeah, but so, I genuinely feel like that came to me in the last, like, few months. I feel like really? I mean, not all of it, for sure. I feel like I was mature in many ways. But I had to endure a lot to realize, you know, where I was going wrong and what was I doing wrong. But ultimately, I think to realize who I am and my value, and to sort of just appreciate who I am and what I'm bringing to the table, and just do that. And if someone doesn't like that, then that's okay. You know, they just don't match that, and that's okay. Yeah.
It's better because you know that you're getting closer to the right person.
Mm.
And plus, you're kind of always, oh my God, I don't know how to explain this concept. So you keep your mental stability and you're not over someone running around trying to impress them, whatever. I feel that us women are so insecure when it comes to impressing people, because I don't know about you, but I grew up reading maybe Cosmopolitan, like all those lists where like you have to do this and that and that, and then you're getting bombarded by all those beautiful images of beautiful women that are constructed. And so you think that someone loves you for how you look, but it's not like this at the end of the day. It's I don't want to be like a new age idiot saying that it's about your vibes. But sometimes you cannot explain that. It's vibes, really. Because attraction is such a weird thing. It's the weirdest thing ever. So yeah, instead of telling us to focus more on how to really feel good, not in a narcissistic way, we're focusing on the wrong things. And you're like, maybe he doesn't like me because I'm ugly. Maybe yes, maybe no. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And yeah, sometimes what we think is our worst trait or some part of our body that we absolutely hate, that other person might find that the most attractive. And it's like, how do you explain that? You just don't.
You just don't.
So. I mean, I feel like we could go on and on and on and on. There's probably so much more that we can talk about on this topic. And also in terms of all the other ships that come and sail and, yeah, dog and not. Even in terms of friendships, I guess before I close off, because we can do a part two, we can do a part three, we can do a whole series on relationships if people care to listen, or if we just find it entertaining for ourselves. But is there anything that we touched on today that or we didn't touch on yet that you wanted to bring into this conversation before we wrap up?
I feel that for me, the most important thing that is touched on is the fact of being alone, but in the real sense. Because now we're never alone. I don't know, do you remember when was the last time that you got bored?
Yeah, today.
Today?
Yeah.
Like me, I remember the last time I got bored, it was like 10 years ago, because now I have social media, I just open a phone and find entertainment. But boredom, that boredom, you know, that we used to feel when we were 10 or 6, whatever, I don't want to feel it now, so I just do random things, I distract myself. But yeah, this being alone, are we fine with being alone?
Yeah.
It's so weird, because really, I've entertained relationships where I think that it wasn't working for me, but I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Just I didn't want to be alone. Or maybe being with someone, seeing all the red flags. Maybe someone yelling at me, not being kind to other people. I'm telling about really bad red flags. And what else? Yeah. Even if I saw all those things, I didn't... Do you say quit the relationship? No. Oh, well, I did not leave, quit.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because deep down, I don't want to be alone.
Mm.
Deep down. I feel that on the surface, I'm like, ooh, I'm a single happy person. And I am happy. But sometimes I'm wasting my time entertaining people that I shouldn't be entertaining just because I don't want to be alone.
I mean, you've opened literally a can of worms. I think like I will just go off a tangent in a minute. But I said I was bored today because I went on a run. I went on a 10-kilometer run after a while of not being able to run. And I had to sort of mentally, physically force myself to do it. And I was so bored on that run, you know, it. And I understand it's not the same boredom as you describe, you know, back in the day. I know the feeling. You were talking about it and I could feel that boredom of when I was a 10-year-old kid, like not having anything to do with my life. But I was on that run and I was, you know, forcing myself. I was in my thoughts because I don't take podcasts. I don't take music. I just run, and I was running across this canal that had nothing going on, you know. It was just trees and the canal and more trees, nothing else that could entertain me. There were no buildings, no roads, just trees, like birds singing. It was beautiful, but it's insane how your mind is so used to all those triggers that when you're there alone, you get bored or you feel like you need more entertainment, you need more and more and more. And so that's number one. And number two, it's funny again, because I feel quite bored a lot because I live by myself and I don't tend to have people over a lot. I don't know why, I just don't. I tend to go out and meet my friends or whatever. They don't tend to come here. So when I am alone, and I guess that also brought a lot of self-acceptance and understanding of myself, because I understood who I am really by living alone. So what entertains me, what I like, what I enjoy, what I don't like, and you know, how do I like to spend my time, and also just being comfortable without having another person next to you at all times that you have to rely on to feel good or to feel soothed or to feel anything. To the extent that I actually thought to myself that, wow, if I had to bring someone into my life today and they would move in with me or something, I would feel overwhelmed to have this person around. Like, it goes two ways. You might get too comfortable with yourself. And I actually sometimes feel like I got that. I got to that stage, which is alarming, but it's okay. I think I'll cross that bridge when I have to.
So funny. It's so funny. You know, like Frida Kahlo and her husband used to have two separate houses and a bridge connecting them. I think that that's the solution.
I mean, that sounds like me. I genuinely feel like I love my space. I love my, even in bed, like I love just having my bed to myself. And like other people, like sometimes just breathing or something annoys me, and it's, I know it's too far, I know I need to work on it, but it's true.
Like, so I don't like to breathe.
Speaking about delusion. I guess this, we can just wrap it up here again. I'm happy to host you anytime, and this was an incredible journey. Yeah, thank you for sharing and being vulnerable as well, and just great person that you are. I appreciate you, I appreciate your friendship, I appreciate the perspectives you bring and the Eastern sort of tradition. I like that. I like the mix that you bring, so thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so nice to talk like this, and also opening up was difficult. But yeah, I like that. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.